welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
What I want to share and talk about briefly is worship. We've distributed notes for you this morning to follow through on. They're part of our church life notes, and I want to use them briefly. I won't be able to go through all that's there, but talk concerning it, of the importance of worship. It is the greatest privilege that man can have, to worship God. When we're born again, if you read your Bible, we were born again, firstly, to worship. We are born again to worship Him. Scripture says in, is it Luke 19, when Jesus was making His way, I think, to Jerusalem for the Passover, and as He came along, the people started to worship Him and adore Him, and the Pharisees raised their voice against this, and Jesus stopped them and said, if they don't worship, the very stones will cry out in worship. I want to tell you, that's an indictment sometimes upon us believers. We're everywhere else, we're focused, we're here for everything else, but the one thing that we come to the house of God for, firstly, is to worship Him. Is to enthrone Him with our praises. The measure of the anointing in this house or any house depends upon the presence of God, or how little or how much. And every local church has the ability to cause the glory of God's cloud to come and fill the place. He responds to worship. Psalmist says we enthrone Him with our worship. We form a throne for Him to invite Him to come and be enthroned in our midst. Isn't that awesome? What a privilege. So we can have God with us in our midst. I don't just mean spiritually understanding, but His presence, which is felt by every person there. You can't have the manifest presence of God without you knowing He's here. It's not a faith thing. It's a tangible presence. Hallelujah. I hope you experience that in your personal worship with God. I hope you enjoy that when you're praying and seeking the face of God, the presence of God. He says, you draw nigh to me and I draw nigh to you. What comes? It's His presence by the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Worship is the greatest thing for me other than salvation. In fact, as I've already said, we are born again to worship. Our first call upon your life and mine when we are born again is to be an instrument of worship in the hand of the Holy Spirit. And that's a great privilege that none of us can deny. I hope everybody's got some notes. I haven't got much time, so I am going to touch some of the highlights I think that we do need to touch there. You know, before I go on, David comes to mind. King David is a hero of mine. I love King David. I love his heart. I love his love for God. I love his availability. I love his boldness. I love his courage. I love the fact that nothing stands in his way. He's a go-getter for God. How many go-getters for God are there here today? Or do we have to measure what I'm committed to and can do, cannot do because of this or that or the other? How many are go-getters? Hallelujah. How many can say, I love you, Lord? How many walk around through the day saying, I love you, Lord? I love you, Lord. It's the greatest privilege we can have. I love God who first loved me. No revelation of who He is until the day I met the Savior. Walking with the wisdom of man, walking in the strength of your own understanding, and then you meet the Lord God Almighty that created the heavens and the earth. And suddenly we're not just a physical being walking around. We're a God-indwelt person by the Holy Ghost. Never to be the same again unless we just choose to be the same as I was. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I refuse to be who I was. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I can do all things through Christ. They aren't cliches, church. They're only cliches to people who haven't a revelation of them. But you can do all things through Christ. You can start a journey that you don't want to start because it seems so impossible. It seems so challenging. It seems so demanding. But you'll start it because you've got a trust in God and a power source flowing inside of you. You won't say, oh, well, let me look. No, weigh all things up. You'll say, I'm available. There are some circumstances, but I'm available. Oh, and all of that flows through our lives and gives us the opportunity to do it. You know, I started talking about King David. I nearly forgot what I wanted to talk about King David for. King David, as I said, is an awesome man of God, but he loved God with all of his heart, with all of his life, with all of his strength. He loved the Lord. And he was a macho man. I don't think there's anyone even here, apart from me, but no, I'm kidding. I don't think there's anybody in this house or around us. There's a macho man like the way David was. He was a warrior. He's a lover of God, but he was a warrior. He went out there and he did exploits for God. On one occasion when he was coming back, having routed the Philistines, as he was coming back in, the Bible tells us in and the ladies are talking, and as he's coming back in, and they're saying, David, listen to this, Saul slew his thousands, but David slew his tens of thousands. He was a macho man. He was a macho man. He wasn't somebody that just whimsically wandered through life. He was a go-getter, and as I say, I love to read the Old Testament concerning David. He's one of my heroes. He's one of my great heroes, I guess. But you know, let me turn you to this. Turn with me to 2 Samuel, I think, 6. 2 Samuel. Second Samuel 6, and I'm going to break in, I think, on this. It's I'm going to just start reading from verse 16. You could put that on overhead, perhaps, Ryan. Second Samuel 6:16. Now the ark of the Lord came into the city of David. No, sorry, I don't want to start at verse 16. I want to start at somewhere else. Let me start at verse 12. Now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. I can't go into the story of this, but it's all about the presence of the ark of God. The ark of God, you know, was the containment of the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant was carried by the priests. The Ark of the Covenant contained, as it were, the presence of God. It represented presence of God. They took the Ark of the Covenant when they went into battle. The presence of God went with them into battle. And they triumphed every time because God was with them. And to cut a long story short, as David was and his people were carrying the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, There was an incident where somebody stumbled and they nearly fell, but somebody reached out to catch the ark. And at that point in time, things went wrong because God smote the person that there was no one to touch the ark that touched it. David reacted to that and was angry against God. The ark was left there. It was left at the house of Obed-Edom, and he moved on without the ark. You can read all that in your scriptures. He moved on without the ark. Remember, the ark represents the presence of God. We need the presence of God every day in our lives. You and I need the presence of God. It's not a matter of knowing it. We need to have it. We have it because we go for it. We go before God and we take hold of it. The presence of God. So we left the house, the house of Obed-Edom. News came to him that the house of Obed-Edom was being blessed because of the ark of the presence of God. I want to tell you, when the presence is there, you're blessed. So when he heard that news, he said, go and bring the ark, because he's king. Go and bring the ark from the presence of God, from the house of Obed-Edom, and bring them to me. And as he started to come in, as they started to bring it into where he was, that's when we pick up, let me see, verse 12. Now it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. So it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone six paces that he sacrificed oxen, fatted sheep, and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all of his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David, just a thin outer garment. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting. How did they bring the ark of the Lord up? How did they bring it up? How? Well, shout. How did he bring it up? With a shouting. Amen. I'm glad we've got that clear. He brought the ark of the Lord up with shouting. Yeah. Well, I only stopped there because I've lost my place. What verse? 15, is it? Thank you very much. You're such a good people. So David and all the house of Israel, oh yes, verse 16. Now, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looking through a window, remember, she was married to David, and she saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine it? Weeping and you know, this is the king and all the people there. Can you imagine that? That the king, whoa. Could you do it? I'm deadly serious, church. You need to hear me today. She saw him whirling, leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. You know, you've got to prepare a place for God in your life. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both the women and the men, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone to his own house. And David returned to bless his household. And Michal, a daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king, mocking him. How glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself, because he only had that thin cloth on, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants as one of the base fellows, shamelessly uncovering himself. So David said to Michal, it was before the Lord, who chose me instead of your father and all of his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more undignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. Say that with me. And I will be humble in my own sight. Say it louder than that. You're not saying it, all of you. And I will be humble in my own sight. And I will be humble in my own sight. In other words, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks about me.
I am humbling me before my God. And what other people think about what I'm doing in humbling myself before God is not their business, it's mine. Hallelujah. So David said to Michal, it was before the Lord. Therefore I will play music before the Lord, and I will be even more indignified than this, and will be humble in my own sight. But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor. Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. What am I wanting to say there? That's how important worship is. For God is worthy of it. If the stones don't cry out, if we don't cry out unto God, then the very stones will. People, we have to have an attitude where I'm here to magnify the Lord. And that's not just, and please don't hear me saying anything that I'm not saying. I'm saying that there is a better way for you and me to function when we come to the house and enter the area and place of what we call worship than we presently do. We don't just come here to use this organ. We worship the Lord. When I say I worship the Lord, it's from there to there that I worship the Lord. Every part of my being is unified in expression and praise and thanks and adoration. Anybody looking at me say, there's something wrong with him. What's he going on for? Well, I've met the Savior. He's in my life. I'll never be the same again. I'm a new creation. I'm forgiven of all my past. You can't hold back on praising God. You can't hold back on glorifying the Lord in the dance and twirling around like what's-his-name did. But you can't do it in the flesh because we're so caught up with my dignity. It's more important than God being God. I can't make myself a fool in front of the people. But David was willing to make himself a fool. Why? Because his God was so great. His God never failed him. His God took him into victory. No matter what battle he went into, it was always victory. Why? Because he went before his God. And his God only went when he asked God, do I go? God says, go. Impossible circumstances, but his God took him through. Is that enough to make anybody who day after day can know I'm walking in the victory of God? It doesn't matter what comes against me. I'm walking in the victory of God. Doesn't that make anyone happy enough to dance? It doesn't matter what other people think about, because they are where they are. They're stuck in their groove. But hallelujah, David's going doing exploits. He's doing the impossible. He's magnifying God. He's delivering his nation. He's delivering his people. He's an instrument that God can use. Glory to God. You're so excited. Hallelujah. You should be twirling around by now. These chairs should be all over the place, and you should be. Now, that was just an introduction. I haven't even started, but here's something of what I'm trying to communicate. Our worship church is more than singing. Our worship is more than singing. Psalmist said, I will lift up my hands as the evening sacrifice. Lifting up our hands to the Lord is a sacrifice unto the Lord. I'm lifting them up alone to you. In the Old Testament, there were five principal offerings. There was the peace offering, there was the meal offering, there was the sin offering, there was the trespass offering, there was a burnt offering. The burnt offering was an offering, free will offering. The other four are not free will. What I'm trying to say, church, is that there's an offering that we bring before the Lord, and it doesn't just come through our mouth. It It comes with our hands. It comes through our feet. There's an expression of the goodness of God. Sometimes I wonder how this church, and this is a pretty liberated church, but how can the saints come into the presence of God and really be knowing Him and not be caught up with His presence? You know, when I come into the house of the Lord, when I come in this morning, His presence is already here because I know I'm drawing nigh to Him. I'm drawing nigh to Him. He's here. He said that. And He and me are one. It's not this. It's not emotions. It's God. Oh, Lord. We've got some notes here. You have to look through them on your own now because my time is virtually gone. Let me just highlight a few things on it for you, if I may. I've selected this part because the teruah, or the joyful sound, is an important thing. The teruah, another word for the teruah, is a joyful sound. Comes out of our mouth. Usually you can't be happy with just a vocal rendering. When you're happy, somebody makes you happy, or something happens in your life, you're so happy. It doesn't only come out of your mouth. There'll be some physical expression of your joy that this miracle took place. This came out of the blue. It comes out of here, but it comes out other ways too. And the teruah, which is a biblical word, which expresses the spontaneous praise that we find in the scriptures in the Old Testament, is what I just want to quickly remind you of. It's a spontaneous praise. We put here, truth is intended to more and more reveal us to be a people of God, not just to inform our mind. And sometimes that's where we seem to live, with an informed mind. Just with an informed mind. But I'm a spirit man. That means the Spirit of the Lord is inside of me. Hallelujah. And the Bible says about Him, it says, out of your innermost being, rivers of water are to flow. But this spake He of the Spirit. He's wanting God in me to be able to flow out from me, that others can see that God is inside of this man. And if it's only just when they have time to see me be in the house of the Lord, that God's inside this man. Look at him, he's carrying on like a nonsense. If you forgive me for it, I can't do it as good as I did there. But I love to dance in the house of the Lord. I don't dance for anyone to look at me. I love to dance to my God. People can say, look at that idiot there. I'm telling you, they're the idiot. I'm worshiping a king who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm worshiping someone that's allowed me to get an insight into Him that is so real. Hallelujah. And He's now able to get into me because I'm opening myself up to Him without any reservation. Lord God, you know my heart. You can see it. I don't do it to perform. I do it because I want God. How much do you want God, church? The evidence of how much you and I want God, anyone can see in the house of the Lord. It comes through our worship. It comes through our worship. Singing songs? That's great. But we're here to worship Him, not sing. Just sing songs. Let's see if I can take some here and help you with it. You're hearing too much of me. Psalm 27, verses 1 to 6. You could put that up perhaps while I just carry on because of time. In these verses, the psalmist, to the psalmist, are statements of fact. No matter what happens, the Lord is the strength of my life. There is a song of victory being revealed in Psalm 27, verses 1 to 6. Read them when you get home. Verse 6 says, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me.
Therefore, say it with me. Therefore, say it again. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices. What was that word? Sacrifices of joy. Hallelujah. Spontaneous joy. Could you imagine? This house has lived through what I'm going to talk about now. This house has gone through a whole glorious phase of the saints of God just dancing for joy, praising God, vociferous to the glory of God. And it's all been one sound. Hallelujah. Because every individual were worshiping God. And as a result of that, this whole church was a worshiping church at that time. The presence of God comes down. You're so liberated to dance before the Lord that the spirit of prophecy comes upon you. Hallelujah. And God starts to move through us, other than us just be containers of God, as long as that God in us doesn't want to move around too much and make us uncomfortable. God moves inside of us. And that psalm I want to encourage you to read, Psalm 27, because it goes on. I will sing praises unto the Lord. Why will the psalmists, I put in your notes, offer sacrifices of joy? Why will he offer them? Because in the time of trouble, he will hide us in his canopy. That's why we will sing sacrifices of joy. In your notes, third line up, third part, para up. Therefore, the psalmist will sing songs of praise and offer sacrifices of joy. That's the joyful sound, the teruah. The teruah in the Old Testament, Hebrew, means a battle cry. I want to tell you, it's not just nice, polite singing. There's a place for worship of songs. There's a place for warfare, too. Hallelujah. And I'm quoting you a battle cry, the war cry, as the Christian, as the children of Israel went into battle. That was a battle cry. It was the teruah. It was proclaiming their confidence in their great God, that he would deliver them and hide them in his pavilion. That's why the psalmist says, have not all heard the joyful song sound? Do they not know what this joyful sound is? When you lift up this praise and vocalization of the greatness of the God that you serve, we open up a realm for God to move in and to possess us. And the word teruah comes from the Hebrew word ruah and has the primitive meaning, listen to this, to split the ears with sound, a shout, a cry, to make a joyful noise, triumph. I want to tell you, it's nice to sing and be nice, but I want to tell you, it's greater to have the powerful presence of God in the church when we gather together. And it comes in response to a people that know the joyful sound. A people that know the joy of the Lord and the delivering power of the Lord. Please take time and read this when you get home, ponder on it. If you have any questions, please let me know, even phone me. His preparation... No, I've gone too far. The teruah then was a sound primarily led out by an instrument called the shofar. The shofar was like a horn type thing. We had one here. Have we still got that, Robin? Have we got the shofar here? It's on the back. Oh, there it is. So the shofar, the Bible says, the Jewish Encyclopedia states, now this is the Jewish Encyclopedia that deals with the Jews as a nation, includes their worship of God and all the rest of it. The Jewish Encyclopedia states that the sounder of the shofar prepares himself to lead out the sound of the teruah. His preparation to do that, we're going to look at there. But you know, when we come to the house of God, so... The Jewish Encyclopedia states that the sounder of the shofar prepares himself to lead out the sound of the teruah. Now, the teruah is what we're talking about. It's that sound that comes up from you and me, and together it becomes a tumultuous sound of joy, but unto God. A powerful force in the hand of the Holy Spirit. So he prepares himself to do that. And, you know, that speaks to you and I when we come to the house of the Lord.
Whoa, well done. Now that was the sound of a shofar, but they're having me on, Andrew. But that wasn't us playing it. That was a recorded copy of it. But very good. That was the sound of a shofar. It's pretty loud, isn't it? It could be a lot louder. In other words, what the psalmist is communicating to us is that when they approached God, they approached him with a lot of sound. They were vociferous. You understand? The shofar was there. They were there. They were shouting out. They were praising God. But now how did they go about that? How are we to go about that? Well, the Bible, the encyclopedia, Jewish encyclopedia says that he prepared himself. Do you prepare yourself to come to the house of God on a Sunday? Do you prepare yourself to come as a worshiper, to worship? Did you come with the word of the Lord? Did you come ready to prophesy? We're to prepare ourselves. His preparation was as follows. First of all, he says, I am prepared to fulfill God's command to blow the shofar. So before we leave our home, we can say, Lord, I'm determined and I am prepared to go to your house today to join with the saints and be a voice that praises you, magnifies you, and an instrument through which you can bless this congregation and speak through me. That's what the equivalent of that is. You've got the note, so you can chew on it yourselves. I am willing. Number two, I am prepared. First of all, you've got to be willing. And then you've got to be prepared. Then he recites the benediction. Praise be to the Lord our God. This is Psalm 89:15, verse 15. The King of the universe continued. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. The people that know the Teruah are a blessed people. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Hallelujah. I was going to talk more. See, the Jewish encyclopedia continues, a certain sighting of the blessing is the people who know the joyful sound Teruah asks this question, having recited Psalm 89, verse 15. Do other people not know the joyful sound? In other words, it was peculiar that the others didn't know that. That we as Christians, we don't know that there's to be a joyful sound in the house of the Lord that's expressed in ways other than just with our singing hymns. It's focused directly on him with a liberty. This manifestation requires these lungs of ours to be used, and this body, our hands. We worship with our hands. The Bible says, I've quoted psalmist, didn't I? Lift up my hands as the evening sacrifice. That's a sacrifice, but I'm lifting my hands to you, Lord. They might be heavy, they might be hard to lift up. People may say, what's he doing up there? What's he doing? I'm lifting my hands unto the Lord. My whole body is to worship God, not just my mouth. And so that's what's being communicated here. A certain sighting of the blessed is the people who know the joyful sound. Ask them, do other people not know the joyful sound? The Jews were amazed that others didn't know this. Are there those about who do not know the joyful sound or the Teruah? The answer? But the Israelites know how to serenade the Creator with the Teruah. They aren't my words. They're the Jews of the Old Testament. And let me remind you, worship, if you want to find out about worship, you have to go to the Old Testament. There is little worship in the New Testament. Why? Because it's the lifestyle. The New Testament was needed to bring Jesus in. God's relationship with mankind was established in the Old Testament, and that was from the moment they were made, they were worshippers. But there was something yet better to come, and that was that we could be born again. But that didn't mean that we left the worship behind. It should increase the worship, because I'm a new creation today. I'm going to heaven. There's no hell threat for me. I'm going to the glory of God. So we should be a people that come here with our hair
hanging down. We are liberated and free to praise God. We're not sitting to hear what the preacher's got to say, who's going to sing, what's the announcements. We're here bursting to magnify God. Our feet get tapping. We get up and we want to dance. And this house has been a house that through the years of give liberty. People, when the worship spirit is upon this house, you dance if you're going to dance. You dance unto the Lord. Now, when you dance unto the Lord, you don't draw attention to yourself. You're drawing attention to Him. You've got these notes there, as I say. Yes, there are those that, about who do not know the joyful sound, but the Israelites know how to serenade. Isn't that lovely? Verse, page 3. The encyclopedia, Jewish encyclopedia, says that they prepared to minister before the Lord. Firstly, they came and said, I am willing. Secondly, they said, I am prepared. And church, that's what we've got to be doing. Did you prepare to come to the house of the Lord? I know you did as far as putting your clothes on and selecting what you were going to wear. Did you prepare your heart and your ministry before you left the house? Did you prepare to come and worship God and be an instrument through which the Holy Spirit can flow? Were you going to start a word? Were you going to join in worship and allow the prophetic to come through at the same time? We have to prepare ourselves. And the second thing is, like with the blow of the shofar, you have to be willing to do it. Prepare yourself and then be willing to be that instrument. You've got the notes. But I love this part, and I'm not going to let you go till we finish this, because it is so powerful, for me anyway. The Jewish encyclopedia continues, the shofar, that's that which brings forth the sound, represents, it looks, we've got a wrong spelling there, we've got south, it should be sound, represents the windpipe, or the physical part of our bodies, runs alongside the gullet. I haven't made it up, that's what the Jewish encyclopedia says. So the shofar is equal to that windpipe in your my body. In other words, there's a shofar down there. Where's your shofar and mine? It's down here. It's our ability to speak. It's our ability to shout. So our windpipe brings forth a truer. Choice is yours, whether you're going to use your windpipe to bring forth that sound, to praise God, to magnify the Lord. The sounds of the shofar awakens, this is a Jewish encyclopedia, awakens, listen to this, the higher mercy. Habakkuk 3 verse 4 speaks of the hiding of God's power. In the midst of trouble and need, he is confident his God will deliver. Therefore, he is able to declare, yet will I rejoice in the Lord, and in the secret of his hiding place, the higher mercy will be awakened. You get into your closet and whoa, you allow that shofar, hallelujah, the windpipe to function. Point two, in the teruah, or a joyful sound, bewilders, I'm still quoting the Jewish encyclopedia, when we go forth with the teruah, it said it bewilders and staggers Satan. Now, not my words, that's a Jewish encyclopedia. That's their experience from the Old Testament. It bewilders and staggers Satan, his concerns. Hello, hello, hello. Have they found something? Do they know something? I don't know. Am I in trouble? Have they laid a siege for me and I'm not aware of it? The devil's in trouble. And he's starting to get aware of that. Point three, there was a series of 30 different sounds that went together to make up the one sound of the teruah, ear splitting. What does that tell you and I? It's not just one person to praise the Lord. It's every one of us. And when we all raise our voices in the teruah, then we have one ear-splitting sound. Don't get distracted from this. I know we're running a bit late, but
This is so exciting. I love beating on the devil, don't you? So first of all, it bewilders and staggers Satan. All of us come together. There were 30 different sounds that made that teruah sound. It was repeated 3 times. And I added this. This is my addition in brackets. Our teruah should go on and on and on and on. You shouldn't be as quick to quit making a joyful sound of the Lord. Well, that's enough. Just let the Spirit of the Lord in you relinquish it. The first time it was heard, this is a Jewish encyclopedia said, by Satan, when Satan heard it, he imagines that God's people are just fulfilling the law. This is the encyclopedia saying this. That the devil, Satan, when he heard that great sound, he imagines it's God's people who are just fulfilling their usual role of the law. They're doing it because they've got to do it. Do you and I come to church because we've got to? Or do we come to the house of the Lord because we're coming to God, our Father? Hallelujah. Point B. The encyclopedia goes on to say, when he, the devil, hears it the second time, listen to this, he's surprised. And he says, why did they carry on? Thinking that the Messiah must be coming. Now remember, this was all Old Testament. And remember, these are not my words. This is from the Jewish Encyclopedia of the Old Testament and their walk and relationship with the God of the Old Testament, who was the God of the New Testament. Hallelujah. And this was their experience. And the children of Israel always triumphed. Praise God. This is the way to do it. This is the way to win. This is the way for this house to be filled with His glory. So, I lost myself, yeah. The first time it was heard by Satan, he just thought it was just tradition, you know. They just do it. And that can be us, you know. We just sing a song, and then we wait for someone to lead us to the next one. Instead of just allowing our spirit man just to start, oh, hallelujah, 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 and then builds up with the next person next to me, the person behind me, goes to the front row, back row, and slowly there's this, oh, we bless you, O Lord, you're God, you're great, there is no one like, and we all flow into that slowly together. And it's not just one person, it's one body, as one, functioning. And that's what the Jewish encyclopedia tells us was the victory and the success of the children of Israel against their enemies. The first time, yes, he just thought that they were singing and they were fulfilling the law. Tradition. Let's not be tradition people. Point B, when he hears it the second time, the Jewish encyclopedia says, he is surprised. And he asks himself this question, why did they carry on so long? Thinking that the Messiah must be coming. Now remember, that was Old Testament. But they're looking forward. And so he's getting confused here. There's got to be a reason for all of this great joy. And then finally see, when he hears it the third time, the devil is dumbfounded, expecting, surely, the resurrection of the Messiah is about to take place. There's an expectant people. Now, you've so encouraged me with your amens and your excited faces, and I found it so easy to share with you. And I know I'm being naughty, and you won't have to put up with that. No, that's wrong. But I want to urge you, church, this wasn't just to fill in some time this morning. Never is. What do I tell you, church? You are called to worship God's way. Not traditional way. If you're not very careful, this church will, like a lot of other churches, fall into the tradition of worship. Hymn, prayer, hymn, prayer, hymn, prayer, word. We want spontaneous worship that comes out of you and me. It can't come anywhere else. It can't come from anywhere else.
And yet Jesus said, if you don't do it, the very stones will do it. I don't want someone else to be able to do what I've had the opportunity and privilege by God to do it. I don't get another shot at this, church, nor do you. Nor do you. But together, we have the privilege of functioning in the hand of the Holy Spirit, just simply allowing ourselves to be those that don't just say, I love you, Lord, but demonstrate it. Forgive me, I get so... Oh, I want to tell you, we're so privileged to be part of God's house. So privileged to be saved. He didn't save us just to go home, come to church, sing some songs, have a word, go home, live the week, come back. He didn't do that. We are nation changers, church. But we can only change nations God's way. And how do we get hold of God's way? Here it is. Here it is. God can never tell you the way if you don't read this. He can never tell me it. But what I can encourage and what I can leave even as a last, almost last minute legacy to the church, it's this. Stand up and shout the victories. Lift up your hands in praise. Let there be a joyful sound. Let there be a demonstration of joy. For mostly praise comes out of the mouth, you know. Praise comes out of the mouth. Do you know where worship comes from? It comes from your body. Your body parts demonstrate the worship that belongs to God. There's a difference between the words that come out of our mouth. Our body is a new body. It's a recreated body by the Holy Ghost. And it's here to worship the Lord. Hallelujah. I see this world. I see men earning thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of pounds, being applauded by thousands and thousands of people because they stand up and jig around and sing a song and play a guitar a nice way. I see thousands. My God is greater than that. He's greater than that. He deserves more than anything that those people get by way of applause. They go crazy. And maybe you're some of them sometimes that have been to some of those places. I don't know. I've never gone to one. I don't want to go to one. My God is worthy, though. I don't need to go anywhere to be able to lift up my voice, my Ebenezer to God, and worship Him and praise Him and dance yes. You can't worship God just with your mouth. Your whole body's been given to you by God to lift up holy hands unto the Lord, to dance a dance of joy in the presence of God. It doesn't matter whether you're all dancing the same step that you are, by your actions magnifying God, not drawing attention to yourself, magnifying God. We're called as a church. We've been there as a church. We have to go back there as a church, not let the infiltration of religion be in this house. This is a house called by God, as every house I believe is. There's no, God has no favorites, but He's given us this, His word, that every church, every individual, every family unit can know the way. But we have to read it. We have to apply it. And there's a joy of it. Lord God, and I pray this over you as I pray it continually for me, deliver us from tradition. Deliver us from formalistic church. Cause us, Lord, to be a demonstration of the church, which is your body, here in BCC, for your glory and your honor. I urge you to take those notes home. Chew on them. Chew on them. Ask yourself the questions. What strikes you as strange, peculiar? Challenge it. Challenge it. If you need any help, please let me know. But challenge it. Glory to God.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.